something really crazy is happening to me.
I need to stop it.
But I don't know how.
It's because you're a horrible person.
What did you say? Gemma?
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott.
I'm Joe.
And we are doing before and after reviews, where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after, spoiler free, of course. Right, Joe?
Spoiler free. And that was a very enthusiastic, "I'm Joe."
Yes, it was.
That's like the most enthusiastic "I'm Joe" that I've ever given.
You had a really giddy face on too. You're looking very happy.
Yes, because did you know that when you smile, the whole world smiles with you?
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. Because today we are seeing Smile 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, writer and director Parker Finn is back doing the movie again. It's a rare occasion that the director and the writer from the first film come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, I think it's pretty rad.
Surprising he hasn't done a movie between these movies, just coming right back to do another one. I think the lead actress in this one is Naomi Scott, I believe is her name. I think she played Jasmine in Aladdin.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She's so pretty.
So she can sing, pretty. And in this movie, I think she's playing a pop star.
Yeah, okay.
So that's kind of smart.
Yeah.
Smart move. I really like the idea that this one's going to be around a musician. And I think what we see Trap last, where they had like a pop star was kind of like a main character and they could have done a lot more with it.
Yeah.
I think that here, it'd be a really neat idea to follow this entire thing and her circle and her security and how this might affect the people around her at a concert, maybe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool possibilities for a good horror movie around that kind of idea.
Yeah, I think so too. I think like with Trap though, it's like, okay, so we knew what the premise was.
Well, the trap was there was no concert.
Right.
Really. It didn't really matter.
That's true.
Yeah, that was the trap.
Yeah.
Here, maybe we'll get the possibility.
Maybe.
I think a part of me, did I interrupt? What were you going to say?
Well, okay, you know what? No, it's fine. I don't... Fuck Trap. I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, it seemed like you were going to go down the trapeze.
No, what I wanted to say was, am I mistaken, but isn't Jack Nicholson's son in this?
Oh, wow. Who's Jack Nicholson's son?
I think he is in this.
Is he the person with the barbell in this preview?
I think so.
Oh, well, that sucks because we already know how that person dies.
I'm not sure. You know, well, don't quote me on that.
I do know that I believe the actor at the end of the first one is credited and as being in this movie.
Ooh.
So they might actually say what happens to him.
Okay.
Which is a shame for him.
Yeah, but I mean, really, does anyone escape this situation?
How can you? And, you know, I guess we should talk about our feelings on the first one because that usually plays very heavily into how we feel about the sequel.
Yeah, I cared very much for the first one. I thought it was very entertaining. It was creepy as hell.
Yeah, that was the thing. I think when we came out of it, we were kind of conflicted. I think, at least for me, as I remember, when we saw the movie, it was shot really well.
Yeah.
They established Dredd really well. And Saucy Bacon. Okay,
I know you want to call her Saucy.
Saucy Bacon. Saucy Bacon, she was very good in it.
She was, yeah.
And very believable about a person going crazy and strung out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the highlight of the movie. But unfortunately, I think the film, the total package, felt kind of weirdly underwhelming in a certain way, where I think when we came out of it, I was saying, damn, this felt like it could have been the greatest thing, but I still really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I ended up giving it a 6.
I think I gave it a 6 too. I really liked it. The end, I think I was a little bit like, I don't know how I feel about this end here.
Yeah, but it does have one of those moments at the end of a film that sticks with you, because it's hard to think about this film and not see this meat monster face thing that is in the damn ending of the movie.
Uh-huh.
When she sees the giant creature that kind of like eats her.
Yeah.
That image is very hard to, you know, forget.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking forward for more of that kind of insane, you know, shots and cinematography and setup and use of camera work. And I think he really nailed it in the first one. I can't wait to see it go further. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully.
I wanted to add just like a little extra creep factor, because the first one was creepy. Like, just, you know, someone sitting there and smiling at you like that, like, it's creepy.
It's creepy.
Oh, and you know what? You know, late to the party, Regal, but, you know, this is my useless knowledge that I was thinking of today, because I just think of stupid crap. You know what they could have done for their promos? They could have made like a huge like teeth bucket, and like you open the jaw and you get your popcorn out of it, you know, and you put your hand in the mouth, like a smile, like a huge smile bucket.
That's very creative.
And like you open the teeth and then your popcorn's like in there. You know what? You should hire me for your marketing, Regal.
I would love to see how you would get that made. Like, how would it be constructed? Because it would have to be on its side. Anyways, yeah. Let's not
okay. get to the. Well, anyway, that's what I was thinking bucket. Of today. You know how I like my popcorn buckets. Oh, anyways,
sure. I was gonna say, I have a love for a couple movies that like center around a star dealing with something like in a crazy type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of movies, so when I see like the movie's going to be around a pop star, I can't kind of like unsee Perfect Blue or the, you know, the interpretation that is Black Swan.
Oh, yeah.
Of like a star in entertainment dealing with it, because virtually Black Swan is almost a take on Perfect Blue,
mm-hmm.
but just with ballet instead of pop stars.
Right.
And I think that every time I see a new movie about, oh, it's going to have a pop star and it's going to be about someone going crazy, I always think of that movie and I go, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be touching on some of the brilliance that is that film? Probably not, but there's always a hope in my mind. Yeah. I don't know what it is about it.
I don't know. With the whole pop star thing, it's a little bit, it's a little tricky. It's a little tricky.
Yeah, of course.
You don't want it to be like too corny. You want it to have like a scary situation, like a scary factor, but then you don't want it to borderline on too, you know, goofy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to do that whole thing with the pop star. So I hope that he does it well this time, you know, with this one.
Yeah, I hope so too. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know anything. And you know what's weird is I think the last time we did this, I think we have an episode on it. That's how long ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the marketing was brilliant at the time. And I think they did it again. But it is not, I haven't seen it at all, the marketing.
No, I really haven't seen anything either.
But then we really don't watch live TV.
No, we don't. So like if there's commercials, but like honestly, I don't think they would do like the commercial thing again, because, you know, they did it with the creepy girl and the ball game. Remember?
That's what
and
I'm stuff, talking about.
Like, it was, I like, think really, they did it again?
I saw, I don't recall. There was one recently where there was a weird person standing at a concert. And they took a shot. I think it was like an odd LL Cool J concert. It was really strange.
Weird.
I think maybe he did one of the big award shows, but I was like, why LL Cool J? I don't even know if this is an old thing, but someone zoomed over and it was a person staring.
Oh, wow.
Like that, with a smile. And someone said, I think this is marketing for Smile too.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, so they are doing it again. But we don't watch a lot of sports. We mm-hmm. don't watch any of that stuff. But, you know, they really should have snuck them into the campaign, you know, like the road campaigns for the presidential candidates.
Oh, my God, that would be funny.
They could have snuck them in the backgrounds, because the people in the backgrounds are already, like, paid actors, I would think. So it would have been really funny to have them in the backgrounds. Because that would have been some awesome marketing.
Creep factor 37 to Trump's speeches. Oh, but, geez. Just saying.
trying not to get political on this show.
No, I'm just saying, have like a creepy person smiling back there.
I was saying either one, either candidate, or either vice president, a vice presidential candidate. Would have been really, really funny.
Yes, we did not talk politics on this show, but I'm just saying that would just be funny. Anyways, yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right, let's go check it out.
I keep seeing his face everywhere. This thing feeds off all the bad shit in her head.
We're back. We just saw the movie, and I'm God. This is like another one for me to talk about. Where I'm like, the whole movie, I had like a roller coaster of emotions, and now at the end of the movie, getting home, I'm exhausted. This one was draining. It's an odd thing, right? Or, hey, maybe that's just that I'm getting older. Who knows? But I just feel mentally and physically drained from watching the movie. And I guess that's kind of what they want.
I will agree with you. I do feel exhausted after this. I think mainly because the main actress, I don't remember her name, she gave it so much that I feel like she was almost physically harming herself with her acting.
I agree. And here's the problem with this, because when I said roller coaster, the reason I virtually said that was because in the first half of this movie, if you had stopped the movie and then asked me my opinion, I would have said, this movie's kind of brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say that if you have stopped it again in another 30 minutes, I would have said, do I like this movie? Like, I don't know.
I was also going through that very same emotion.
I'm so conflicted because the first 30 to 40 minutes are kind of just brilliant. I'm not going to lie. The directing is awesome. The acting is awesome. The sets, the costumes, everything they're going for is really cool and unique. And then something happens in the movie where it's like it's going too far or too long, and it starts a kind of bordering parody.
Yeah. You're literally taking you're taking the thoughts right out of my head.
Okay.
I felt the same exact way through this. I was conflicted because I felt like at one point, okay, I don't think I could take anymore. Like, it was just nonstop. At one point, nonstop, just insanity, to the point where, like, all right, this is getting ridiculous now.
Yeah, I mean, I had so many thoughts. I really did, because the opening of the film is like this really smart, clever shot, like following with. And everything about it is just like nailing the tone, the music, everything. And then when you meet our main character and you see that, you start learning her backstory and you're getting like her tragedy and the way that they shoot it. It's like, wow, I really get this character. I understand this character. I know where we're going. I could see her trauma, her, like, the world that's built around her. You really are getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more and more, like, characters come in, or the more that the director feels like, you know, what if I push this envelope, or what if I go a little further with that? And especially when I think a friend character shows up in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the actress is like in a different movie.
I felt that way too.
And I feel like she's kind of, it feels like she feels like she's in a 90s horror film, like a Final Destination or something.
Yes.
And it's the main actress, is going like she is running in the movie like 110%, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to the point where it's so exhausting watching the, I think this happened in the first one too with the saucy bacon. And in the first one, I remember going, oh my God, I feel like the watching this actress is emotionally draining, and you feel like that you believe the insanity, the breakdown.
I did believe it with Sosie Bacon. I did believe it, but I feel that I wasn't running on like an imaginary marathon with her. In this movie, I felt like I was on a treadmill that just would not stop and I couldn't get off of it.
Yeah, we got to the point where after a while, she's doing a lot of acting with her eyes and a lot of acting with her mouth. And it's mm-hmm. like, after a while, it gets to the point where you've seen it 50 times.
Yeah.
And it starts becoming surreal, and then it starts becoming parody. And then some things happen where you're like, this is kind of comedic.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I need to laugh at it. And I don't think I'm supposed to. And that's where I got problems with it, especially with twist after twist after twist after twist.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like you should have cut down 30 minutes of this.
I feel like 30 minutes could have been cut yeah, I wonder completely,
how,
yes.
How long is it? Is it 2 hours?
This is 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah, you can feel it. You can feel it. This could have been an hour and 40.
100%.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Like, no problem. And I think that it probably would have been tighter and smarter. There's some elements here, like the concert stuff or them practicing on stage and stuff like that I think is great.
Yeah.
There's a really clever smile moment where they use her stage dancers as a part of her nightmare. And I'm like, this could have been so much cooler,
mm-hmm.
but it's a creative, interesting scene. But then at that point in the movie, we're already like, we're running out of steam here.
Yeah. And I thought that was just pushing it too far. And then when I thought that it was being pushed too far, then something else pushes it even further.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of layers
mm-hmm.
of the inception layers you're going on. And you're kind of like, I think at one point in the movie, you become aware of what's playing out. Like because you kind of like outthink the director, who is also the writer. Mm-hmm. You kind of start outthinking him because, yeah. you know, he is trying really hard to be clever and come up with those ideas. But there's a point where as the viewer, okay, you've told us multiple times what the lore here is, what the, you know, what the mythology is.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm outguessing you. I'm playing chess mentally, and I'm kind of like one step ahead. And so every single time something happened in the movie, I go, well, that's not happening.
Right.
Or is this happening?
Or is it happening?
And there was only one time where I was like, holy crap, that's crazy that just happened.
Yeah.
And so I didn't outthink him here, but there was multiple other times where I was like, okay, none of this is true. And then when one of the things gets revealed as not being true, I'm like, now I just feel like it's gone way too far. And there is like 3 not happening moments. And then they go on and on mm-hmm. and they keep coming back. And a lot of them feel like commentary on other horror movies,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't fit into this film. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you question like, okay, who is real in this scene and who is not real in this scene? And what is really going on here? Did any of that actually happen? Type thing. I just wanted to bring up something random right now. So the guy that played her boyfriend in this, Paul, that was Jack Nicholson's son. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's like I was like, it's a bit part. It's a small part. I wish it was more to it.
Yeah, I noticed him in the movie. I was like, when he smiles, he looks exactly like his dad.
Okay.
But yeah, like I felt like this movie was on too much of a roller coaster. It kind of got me nauseous, you know? I was just like, all right, I think I've had enough of this. Like we were almost at the end, and I'm like, it felt like that Like, I was getting motion sickness from it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way I felt. I was like, this has to stop at some point.
At the last 25 minutes, at that mark, when that started, the last 25 minutes, I became so physically exhausted by the movie.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay, smile creature, whatever the hell you are.
Yep.
Just take me over.
I know. It's the way I felt too. I'm just like, can you just let this end? Like, we're finished.
If the director's intent was to possess us by beating us down, you did it.
Accomplished. Yeah, totally. I mean, there were some cool things going on in this.
Without a doubt.
And the main actress really gave it her all.
Oh, I mean, and I feel so bad because she is doing some great work.
Yeah.
While also
overdoing the work. Maybe
sometimes overdoing it. There's like a flashback to an accident that happens throughout this movie. Mm-hmm. And you kind of see the character, or like her backstory a little bit. And I'm not sure the cry acting is fitting, especially when you see it multiple times and it drags on a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of not, it's like uncomfortable, but also like, I don't want to say laughable, but it just feels so odd that you're taken out. You're just constantly taken out. There's a lot of that where characters take you out of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you start thinking about Trap? Because I know we talked about Trap.
I did.
Did you think about Trap and say, okay, now this is how you film what a concert looks like.
Yeah.
And even though that you're not really at a concert, like you're just them doing rehearsals. And the rehearsal felt better than almost all of Trap's filmed scenes.
Yeah. I mean, I know she was supposed to be like, you know, a generic pop star in this, but she just looked like Lady Gaga.
Well, yeah.
Like, I was like, ugh. Isn't all right.
That basically pop these days? It's like you have to go out of your way. You have to be these big spectacles.
Outfits that they wear and like the one pieces. The
choreography was great.
There was some good choreography and there was some neat costumes for sure. But at some point I was just like, okay, we don't need to see, you know, 15, 20 minutes of them rehearsing. And then, oh, we know that she's going to freak out any moment. You know, something's going to happen and break into the whole, like, feeling and aesthetic of what's happening. You know, like, she's going to have a freak out, she's going to see something, and that happens so many times in this movie, and I'm just like, okay.
By the
67th time, I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
I just kind of like the scene that we were talking about with the rehearsal while, you know, they're doing the whole, you know, the choreography of the dance sequence. Yeah. And you know, like you said, something's going to happen, but the way they shot it with the screens and the lights and everything, I wish the whole movie was more around that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really enjoyed watching that because it visually was very interesting. And it was also a really interesting, unique location for a horror film. And there's just not enough of that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another room. And, you know, it's just kind of like a room movie. Like, there's a lot of rooms, but the big open spaces are kind of opened it up for life. Like, yeah. It just made it more realistic or more open. There's only, like, maybe three scenes in the preparing for a concert.
Right.
Which is a shame, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, there was just so... It seemed like they tried to cram too much in there, and it just got overloaded. I just felt like the movie was just overload. That's the only way I can describe it.
Without a doubt. Yeah, it's like running on empty. It's like when your tank is running on, you see the E.
The gas light is on.
Yeah, the gas light is on, and you're just like, I have this many miles to get to the end.
Yep, we got 16 miles left, and we ain't gonna make it.
Yeah. Was it Kramer when he's driving in the Seinfeld?
Yeah, they're Thelma and Louise in it.
Yeah. That's how I felt. I honestly just glazed over. And I just kind of was like, wrap it up, you know, please. And I feel like it's a shame because both the director and the actor and the cinematographer and the editor and the score, everybody is doing top-notch work.
Oh, I feel like the actors and the crew and everybody did great, great work. I just feel like this went on too long And there was just too much in there that was making you question everything else. And that gets annoying after a while, you know, like one or two times. Okay, fine. I get it. But when you're sitting there questioning the whole movie, or did this happen? Did this not happen? You know, are these people even real? It starts to be a little tedious.
Especially when those things you're talking about are virtually tropes. There's a lot of
trope-ridden
characters that you just don't believe, because you're like, because the movie feels so real. And then those trope characters come and you're like, what is this?
What is
and
this?
Why would this happen?
Yeah.
And what? And the rules of the rules of this universe are also baffling and bizarre, and I'm not really sure I get it. But I will say this is another point, the thing to point out as kind of a con, that I knew exactly how this was going to end. I knew where we were going. I knew what the game plan is. But I just kept thinking to myself, God, I wish I was here for the whole movie, because just all of a sudden popping into the scenario that it does end with, I was like, damn. At one point I was like, I knew we were always heading to this goal, but then the whole movie, I was like, there's no way they can go there because it doesn't make sense visually and narratively.
Right.
And then it gets there anyways, and you're kind of like, this feels tacked on in some weird way. And that's a con. And this sucks because I do not hate this film.
I don't hate it either.
I do find a lot to enjoy. And I feel like if I had to rate it, I'm going to rate it like I rated the first one. But I think I would find myself watching the first one again.
Okay, so we rated Smile, what was it, a 7?
I gave it a 6.
Okay, I think I might have given it a 6 too. I can't give this movie the same. The first one, when I saw it, was very unique to me, and I felt like I was watching something that was like special. This, it dragged me through the mud a lot, and it got annoying to me after a bit.
It did with me too, and that's why I don't want to rate it, because you know, we rated Long Legs, right? We watched Long Legs. We did a podcast on it, and I was hating on the movie, and I said, you know, later on, I think we did an episode of 100 episodes, and we were talking about things that maybe we underrated or overrated. And I said, well, I think I underrated Long Legs, right? And I feel like Long Legs is in the same vein as this, where I feel like I'm watching something special, but I have so many problems with it that I don't know how to accurately judge it. And the things that I don't like about Long Legs were very heavy to knock me out of the film. And the same way here. But I do know that there's an enjoyable movie in this movie that makes me want to go, it's above mediocre.
So that's the thing. I feel that because there are so many issues in this, although I love the scenes, some of the scenes were great, the directing, like we already talked about. But I just can't give it the same score that I gave the first one. I gave the first one a 6, and I just can't elevate this one to that level. I just can't, because there's just too many things that were bothering me in this movie. Even though I didn't hate it, I didn't love it either. So I'm going to say this is a mediocre film. I'm going to give it a 5. It's mediocre to me. It just started to wear on me after a while. I mean, if your movie does that, and you're sitting in the theater and you're thinking, oh, for Christ's sake, please just end already. I can't take no more. Then that's not good.
See, I think they're, and I know this is maybe as a cop out, but I do feel that was the intent, is that we're going with the character. And then sometimes that can be graining on the viewer, when the intent is, we want you to feel what this character is feeling. We want you to experience the insanity with them. And I feel like that is definitely the goal, because we always follow her face, and we always are following what she's going through in her day, each moment. And in that sense, I think it is nailing that. We feel she is exhausted by it.
Of course.
And she is mentally done. And I feel like I was mentally done with her. So I feel like it's definitely nailing the tone in the feel of that.
I get it.
And so I come out going, eh, it's definitely better than mediocre.
I feel like I'm okay. Part of what you're saying is right, but also then I feel like when you're in a situation like this and you're just constantly staring at somebody, the horror on somebody's face and the intense acting over and over and over, it just seems to get repetitive, and then you feel like that perpetual sense of just motion sickness. It's the only way I can describe it. I'm just like, I'm gonna throw up, you know, like, yeah. I can't take any more of this.
Well, I understand. You're virtually coming from an area of, well, I want to be entertained.
Yeah, like, and I was entertained for the most part, but then I just started, like, I just couldn't take anymore. Yeah. Like, an hour and a half in, I was like, this has to stop now.
With an overall, like, an overall package, mm-hmm. the entertainment is lost, is what.
Yeah, and
I understand that. I get where you're coming from. I do see, like, sometimes you just want a digestible horror movie.
Yeah.
You know? And I get it. I understand completely why you would go with a 5, but I can't bring myself to that. I can't do it because I know the directing is like, and the acting is like, carrying the shit out of this.
Oh,
film.
Yeah. So I mean, like, she nailed it. Naomi
Scott.
Yeah. She did a good job. She definitely brought it, but I think that the intensity was just a little too overwhelming towards the end there. I was like, all right, this is too intense for even me right now. And I'm a horror fan, but I will say there's some cool blood and gore, but it wasn't like, you know, I think it was more of like the psychological thing, like the first one.
I mean,
but
there's gore though.
There's gore. There's gore. If you want gore, you're gonna get it. But overall, I have to give this mediocre. I was not blown away by this. I didn't even think it was really a good movie. I think it was decent because of how it left me feeling at the end, you know. I don't like movies that leave you feeling like this at the end, so yeah. That's it. That's my take. All right. That I got for you.
Okay. All right. We are exhausted. We are going to put ourselves to sleep because, good Lord.
I've been on an emotional roller coaster for 2 hours and 7 minutes. I'm tired. That's it.
All right, everybody. Hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit and tell us what you think if you saw this. And I will also point this out. Nobody in our theater.
Nobody.
Nobody. And that was mind-blowing to me. A horror movie that wasn't packed. I guess everybody was already exhausted from Terrifier. So if they saw Terrifier and then this is a double feature, oh, they might have to be comatose for a couple of days. Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a good one. Thanks for listening, as always. Until next time. Bye.